know the why human trafficking work is needed. To fight for the freedom of modern-day slaves. But love, passion, commitment isn't all you need to be an effective and successful anti-trafficking advocate. Learn the how. I'm Dr. Celia Williamson, Director of the Human Trafficking and Social Justice Institute at the University of Toledo. Welcome to the Emancipation Nation podcast, where I'll provide you with the latest and best methods, policy, and practice discussed by experienced experts in the field so that you can cut through the noise, save time, and be about the work of saving lives.
Okay, I started this week with the goal of cleaning the house, planning vacations, and just beasting on work.
Right. I feel like you start every week with the goal of cleaning, planning, and beasting. that's actually your mantra, ain't it? I mean, that's the welcome mat at the door.
I know, right? Indeed. It should say that. And yes, every week I am going to accomplish so much. I'm like a hopeless optimistic or workaholic, I don't know, but that actually speaks very directly to our next guest.
Oh, okay. How?
Well, this week we're talking to a good friend of mine. She's an entrepreneur, and I've known her for a long time. She's a thriver, and she's been involved in a flurry of activity. I don't want to give it away, so we are going to interview this guest, and then we'll talk on the back end. So without further ado, Dr. Marlene Carson. Welcome to the Emancipation Nation podcast. Today, we have Dr. Marlene Carson. She's a member of the U.S. Advisory Council on Trafficking, appointed by the president in 2020. She is a survivor, a thriver, a powerhouse, and she recognizes the need to move beyond survivorhood to help people become economically empowered, to really, truly recover and be restored. And so many people stop at the survivor status. But Marlene says, no, there are lots of things that survivors can do to support themselves, to give back, to own their own businesses. And so she really takes us and survivors to a new level. So we're going to talk about some of the things that she's doing and how you can get in touch with her and just have a whole, it's going to expand the way you think about human trafficking and survivors. So welcome, Dr. Marlene. I'm so happy that you're able to be here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Williamson. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and I know you were just telling me offline that you were preparing this new facility and you are right in there with the paintbrush and all the things.
Yes,
just getting it ready.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Rahab's Hideaway. I think you started that around 2008.
I did. I started Rahab's Hideaway in 2008. It's a shelter for adult victims of sex trafficking. And so when I first started that just as a survivor, there was a need to help the women to get out of sex trafficking. I knew nothing about sex trafficking as far as services, even the direct services that they needed, because a lot of them had addiction. There was severe trauma, which I had experienced that, but I had never been addicted. I never tasted alcohol to this day in my life. And so there were some things that they had that I was totally not familiar with. So for me, it was like a crash course into the realm of the addiction world and the recovery world. And so one of our first clients, she was addicted. She was on 8 mental health psychotropic meds. Mm. She was a cutter. That was way above my pay grade, okay? And so the reality of it was, along with her and her mental health team, we kind of partnered together to help these women get through the process. I learned so much. And from 2008 to now, 2020, first of all, the main thing I learned was what is my lane? Because mm-hmm. I realized, Dr. Williamson, that I can't help everybody. But I do realize what my lane is. And my lane is education and entrepreneurship. When I came out the life of sex trafficking, there was a HR director at Nationwide Insurance. He sat me down and he said, tell me what you did in prostitution. And I thought he was trying to be funny initially. And I'm old. So he was typing on the typewriter. He wouldn't even type it on the computer. Mm-hmm. And so he started typing as I'm telling him. Then he takes the paper out, he hands it to me, And I say, what's this? He said, it's your resume. Now go get a job. And it said customer service, sales, marketing, public relations. And I'm cracking up laughing. I'm like, this is not me. He said, yeah, if you would have went to traditional school, these are the things that you would have learned. And this is exactly what you're doing now. And what I just taught you is how to use your transferable skills. I never heard of transferable skills.
See, I think that's awesome. What a couple things I love is the way you are humble, because you know a whole lot of things. And that's why the president's office reached out to you to be on this advisory board. But still, you say there are things that I didn't know.
Oh, no. And there's still things I don't know. I'm not a counselor. And can I tell you this, just to be honest with you? When the ladies come in, of course, they all want to tell you their story. Dr. Williamson, I don't listen to stories. I don't want to know your story. I got my own. I do not want, I will send you to a counselor. You can go to the therapist. You can go to psychiatrist. But Marlene, I don't want to hear your story. Where do you want to go from here? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. If I can help you from where you are now to wherever you want to go, but I'm not going to relive your story because that's not my lane. Mm-hmm. I'm not a counselor.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people could take that advice and use that advice. What's your lane? And run it as fast as you can run.
Exactly. And so that's exactly what I'm doing. And so since 2008 to now, when I 2020 being a year of COVID, I actually, after experiencing all the things I did with Rahab's Hideaway, I said I would never do housing again. Now, mind you, we went from Rahab's Hideaway for adults to actually getting licensed in the state of Ohio for children. Mm. So Rahab's Hideaway is licensed for kids 11 to 17. And that was a whole nother learning experience, if you ask me. And so we had a kid, though. We only took kids 11 to 17. And there was a case where a mother had sold her 6-year-old daughter. Mm. And at that point, I said, I quit. I don't want to do this. It was re-traumatizing for me. I wanted to almost kill the mother. You trafficking your little girl. And I was furious. And so from 2013, actually, to 2016, I really didn't do anything. I just worked on public policy and education awareness. I did not do anything with direct services. And so when COVID hit, we started getting calls from women around the country saying, I don't think the governors understood that when they put a shelter in place order in, that victims of trafficking have to shelter with a perpetrator or a John, a pimp, you know what I'm saying? A trafficker. And I don't think that they understood that dynamic. So we had women calling us from all over the country asking if we can put them up. And we literally, we were putting girls in hotels around the country, and that got expensive real fast. Mm-hmm. And so when the lady who owned the building that we just purchased, she asked me, she said, you can use the building just until COVID's over. And then I'm like, well, what's going to happen with these ladies once COVID is over? So I said, no, I said, I don't want to do it. I said, I'll only do it if you'll sell it to us. And I'm going to be honest, we did not have the money to purchase this building at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not at all. That building is a $1.2 million building. It's a 32 bed on 9 acres. It's absolutely beautiful. And it was move-in ready because she literally she took such good care of the building. You could have moved in it that day. If you wanted a nursing home with wallpaper everywhere, I hate wallpaper, but if you wanted that, that was the only cosmetic change we had to make was paint the walls, get this wallpaper off. And so we actually negotiated, and then I came up with a campaign, and the campaign was we asked people to host a virtual fundraiser, and that virtual fundraiser is called Pieces of a Dream. The Pieces of a Dream fundraiser, you get 10 people to donate $100, and when the host receives that $100, she turns that in, and or they turn it, him or her turns it in, and we give them a puzzle piece. And they can take that puzzle piece, they can put their name, their company name, their family name, or whoever's or information they want on the puzzle piece, and turn it back into us. And it's going to go on the walls of our facility. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to do two things for our survivors. One, it shows them that people believe in their dreams. Mm-hmm. And two, it shows you that your dreams can't come back together again. Because we have so many people, attorneys, business, successful business owners, We partner with Inmates to Entrepreneurs, which is an organization in North Carolina. They created a 12-week entrepreneurial curriculum that is free. It's online. They gave that to us. And we just want to help these survivors go from where they are. If they want a business or even if they want a job, we will show you how to get the skills to work a successful job if that's your desire. But we have to move from this whole victim thing for sure.
Yeah, I love that so much because I love the pieces of a dream because it also shows survivors as they're walking through the facility, how many people support their dream and want to be a part of their dream. It's like that's amazing.
Yeah.
So where are you at with that facility?
So we actually put a down payment on the facility. It is not paid for. We have to raise several hundred thousands of dollars to pay for that facility, which I need like 600 people to donate $1,000. That doesn't seem like a big number to me. The world is big. We need about 600 people to donate $1,000 just to get this building done, paid for. And then the awesome thing about that, the businesses that we started, Dr. Williamson, are sustainable. We don't need your money after that. And we don't need to apply for grants because we know how to create social enterprises that will sustain our own stuff. And so that's another model that we want to share with nonprofits. We want to show you how to create sustainable profit for your nonprofit. You don't always have to get grants to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So if someone wanted to be a piece of this dream, how would they connect with you to do that?
They can go to rahabshopeofohio.org. Rahabshopeofohio.org. And I'm going to spell it because a lot of people spell it rehab and we are not a rehab. But so it's R-A-H-A-B as in boy S, hopeofohio.org.
That's awesome. And if someone doesn't have $1,000, can they give less than $1,000?
Absolutely. You can give what you want. Absolutely. So you can go to that same website. You can absolutely give what you want. I have to tell you one more thing. How much time do we have?
You can go on as much as you need.
Okay, thank you. So I just received the website today. I created something called the Peerpreneur Network. Mm-hmm. And so the peer, I'm going to text it to you so you can take a look at it.
Peerpreneur.
Peerpreneur. So let me tell you, a peerpreneur is a peer. One of my peers, they could be a traffic victim. They could be an executive director or a founder of an organization. So it can go from, you know, just a wide plethora of who my peers are. Mm-hmm. And we teach people how to create businesses. If you want to write a book, we have a publishing company. If you want to write courses and sell them online, we show you how to create those courses. We have a graphic design team. And these are all survivors.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is absolutely amazing. And the beautiful thing about it, the Peerpreneur Network is only $17.99 a month.
So if I'm interested, I don't have to be even a survivor. I could I enroll and I share my dream. And then there's a potential person or team that helps me to realize my dream.
Absolutely so. I have many peers. We're going to do an assessment for people to take so they can identify your peers. So there's some of my peers may be pastors. Some of my peers may be survivors of trafficking. Some of my peers may, I'm a crafter. Some of my peers may be other crafters. So it all depends on, we have a lot of peers when you think about it.
Yeah, I love that it's a village sort of helping each other.
Totally. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so you're also writing a self-care book for survivors. Yes. What's that about?
That is so funny you mentioned that. So I was at a retreat with some other survivors. We were about to go shopping and one of the girls took a shower and she got dressed so fast that a survivor said to her, "Did you lotion your butt?" And she didn't say butt either. And so I told them, I said, that's our next project. So we're actually writing an anthology project. It's 12 of us. And we're writing a book, Lotion Your ASS. And but it's a book on self-care. That's what it is.
That is awesome. I love the edginess of it. It would catch your eye if you were walking by.
It's definitely going to catch your eye. It is definitely going to catch your eye.
Yeah, let me see what this book is about. I might need it.
Well, it's definitely going to show you different ways. You know, most people think when you think of self-care, taking a long bath, which is cool, you know, doing your facial routine and things like that. But we give so many recommendations for self-care that people that are inexpensive. Now, some of them are expensive, but some are inexpensive that people probably don't think of. And we just want to help people to, especially during this time when life seems so tense and so hopeless, to make sure that you take care of you and all this and all that we're dealing with.
And so when do you suspect the book will be done and out?
It'll be out in September.
Oh, awesome. So you'll have to come back so we can just talk about that book.
Yeah. Be out in September. I do have another book that's out now. It's called 12 Steps to Transform the Exploited Soul. So that book is out right now. And it's a biblically based book on true story of a child sex traffic victim who was trafficked by the safety and security officer in her school.
True story. Wow. Mm-hmm. So where can people pick up that book?
Amazon.
All right. And what's the name of it again?
12 Steps to Transform the Exploited Soul.
Awesome. And I know you do a lot of presentations.
Yes.
So you are in demand. If someone wanted to have you as a presenter, how would they get in touch with you?
They can reach out to me on that same Rahab's Hope website. Mm-hmm. But my assistant's contact information is switch2rahabs@gmail.com. switch2rahabs@gmail.com. And her name is Brenna, B-R-E-N-N-A.
Awesome. And if people wanted to refer somebody to the Rahab's Hope, the 32-bed facility, when do you suspect that will be done and how might they make referrals?
So I'm going to tell you two things. It'll be done. We're going to have a soft opening July 4th weekend. However, if there are victims that need housing now, there is some processes that we can do to help them. Okay. That's number one. In the meantime, April 12th through the 16th, we're hosting a craft lab. And so we're letting 10 organizations or individuals that want to run an organization come in, and we're going to teach them how to create products and how to help sustain some of the programs that they want to do. And that's April 12th through the 16th. You can send me or your information to that same email address, switch2rahabs@gmail.com.
Awesome. Can you just share with us one of your success stories in terms of helping someone move along that continuum to thrivership?
Oh, I'm going to tell you a good one. This is a good story. So I had a survivor call me October of 2018, and she was crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, my husband just got laid off. They have 5 children, and she's a social worker. And she said, I'm not going to be able to buy my kids anything for Christmas. Well, for me, I just couldn't wrap my mind around that. Because I'm like, wait a minute, you're a survivor. You are a licensed social worker. Why can you not buy your kids anything for Christmas? And she said, we just don't have it. I gave her a blueprint. 1 year later, I mean, it was like November of 2019. She calls me back and she's like crying again. Why are you crying now? She said, I made $253,000 that I didn't pay taxes. She thought she was going to jail. Right. She thought she was going to jail.
Well, and what so did she do? Did she start a business or what?
She did an online program. We give you a blueprint of what you need to do. And she has. So one, I'm big on what is your intellectual property? What can you monetize? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I know how to dig in. And I think of things that I tell you, another girl, she called me this morning. And unfortunately, as a child, her perpetrator would tie her up with neckties. And I mean, bad, bad story. And so I had her and her mother on the phone today. She's been out for a long time. And I asked her, I said, I have an idea for you. Are you sure you're in a healing place? You're in a place where you can receive this because it has something to do with how you were victimized. And her mother both said yes. And we are starting a business for her called Tie One On. And it's ties for women and men to prevent child sexual abuse. She has an organization, and that's what we're going to use. We're going to start a tie company for her.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the company's called Taiwan, but it's the color. It'll be the colors for Child Sexual Prevention Month. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're going to get the message out.
Because I think, you know, when we're so focused on, you know, gaining your self-esteem from going to counseling, and then you sit at home broke, traumatized, in full memory of your trauma. I mean, I think all those things are helpful.
Right.
But
it's all a part of it.
It's all a part of it. But but an aspect of tangible self-esteem.
Yeah.
To be able to be your own boss in some aspects, or work your dream job if you want to work for someone else. And, you know, you're making those things happen.
Yes. So, I have been doing it. I didn't realize from the time that man wrote that resume for me, I did not realize how much entrepreneurship played a role in my life. And the reality of it is, I don't condone this by any means, but sex trafficking is a part of entrepreneurship. It's just the bad part of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
And so most people think that they have no skills. They have nothing they can do as far as a business. One girl even told me, I don't know how to sell anything. I looked at her like, girl, you've been selling sex for years.
Yes.
How do you, you know, just get a better product. Don't sell yourself. So the very first course that we train is how to change your mindset. Mm-hmm. It's how to get rid of the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. See, that was my problem for years. I would do this for different people, and I was scared to do it for myself because of the imposter within. Yeah. And so we teach about what that imposter syndrome is all about. And now I lean into it. So when I'm doing something, even like when I got called by the White House to be on the U.S. Advisory Council, I said, this is a joke. Okay. This is not happening. But I realized when it was very true, I learned how to lean into it and discover what did they see in me that they wanted me on this team. Mm-hmm. And so I learned how to use that imposter syndrome as something positive.
That's right. That's right. I think what you've done is you really are marrying, you know, all of the social service, the traditional way to recovery. Yes.
Yes.
You need all those things. But you're also, you know, leveraging all of the things we now know about entrepreneurship, even online marketing, and all of the tech lingo and all the things to help people design, you know, very non-traditional but successful types of ways to move forward in their lives. And I think that's where the country is headed anyway.
I believe so, too.
You know, and you're ahead of the curve on that.
I believe so, too. And I think once survivors can get to a place where they are self-sustaining and they don't have to depend on systems. I helped a girl with a business. She lived in Section 8 housing and she had Title 20. Can I tell you, she didn't even make that much money, Dr. Williamson, over the Section 8 poverty line. Mm-hmm. She lost her Section 8 and she lost her Title 20. Well, because of that, you know, we got her straight. But I'm telling you this because those type of things keep you locked in a system.
Right.
They keep you locked in a certain mentality. And if you feel like you can never get out, if I could do a research project, which I don't have the capacity or the time, but I would do a research project on, is there a glass ceiling in the ghetto? We talk about corporate glass ceilings, that you can only go so far. But I'm telling you, I think there is some type of mental glass ceiling
in
the inner city that people feel like I can't go above a certain place.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, I mean, I have a saying on my email, you know, I freed 1,000 slaves. I would have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves.
If they knew it.
Some people are enslaved by structures. And they've been taught since day one that this is my lot in life. And I can't go beyond this structure because I'm too afraid to lose that little piece of whatever benefit that somebody is sending me.
That's it.
And, you know, getting beyond that fear, that's the thing that you're doing. But you're doing it because you stand as the authentic. You've done it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't beat that marketing when somebody's showing you. They've done it and they're ready to hold your hand and walk beside you to do it too.
It's just not sex trafficking victims. I talk to people all the time from the C-suite, from corporate America, that have been in that structure for so long. They feel like they were taught, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a husband, you have a career, you have two kids, a dog, and a white picket fence. And now that the country, the world is changing so much, and a lot of my C-suite friends have lost their corporate America jobs, they feel like they do not have any skill to live in this world. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right, right. Yeah, my friend works with, helps to build women leaders, and so much trauma behind Ooh. Women who are successful, and they're playing the part and they're playing the role and they're doing
and
all
they look
things.
The part. They look
the part, but they have a lot of trauma. And if yes. we could just learn, that's why freedom is my thing. Like if yes. if you're not free inside,
you're not free.
So many times we're othering, I'm gonna go help those survivors. It's like, no, you're going to help yourself too, because free yourself.
You're going to help yourself. Yeah. Because you know what? And I realized I've been working with survivors. I'm on myself for years. And I tell the survivors now, don't you think just because a volunteer is coming to help you that they don't need help themselves?
Exactly.
But that's a myth and a lie, because they need just as much help.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And if we recognize that, we wouldn't other somebody. We'd say, I'm in the fight with you. Like your oppression, your chains are my oppression and my chains. And when I realize that, I can work genuinely with you. But if I'm coming in to save you,
no,
then I need to get in touch with my own enslavement first.
So that the book that I wrote, even it's a biblically based book, but that's really, it's a mere reflection. One of the chapters, it talks about looking at your own self while you're trying to help somebody else. Yeah. It's really kind of a, get off your high horse and really let's do this together, because we need each other.
Yes.
We definitely need each other, but don't be condescending and don't be judgmental, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be you for real.
Exactly. That's why I love that you are a very successful woman connected to the White House. And today you're over there painting, a building on behalf of other people, because that is really what partnership and collaboration, and authenticity and genuineness is all about. I'm not going to keep you. I know you are busy doing, about your things. But thank you so, so much. And thank you for being out there and standing as a testimony for what we all should be doing.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you one last thing. For somebody that's out there, they're trying to be an advocate, they're trying to do the right things, they're trying to do it well, what kind of advice would you give them?
The one thing that I would say is, number one, there are so many resources online. Check your resources. I did an event one day and I asked, I always opened up with, somebody tell me what human trafficking is. Now, to be honest, you could have Googled it while I was asking the question almost. Not one person in that room raised their hand. And to me, it was like, know what you're getting into. Don't do it just because it's the next hot topic, or this is our lives. You know what I'm saying? This is something we are serious about, and we're serious about helping other victims get out of it. So the one thing that I would say is, first, do your research. And then if you feel like this is something that you really want to pursue, working with victims of sex trafficking is not like working with ponytails and Bobby socks little girls that, even though we could be young, we've probably experienced more than most have in life. And so check your heart. Like we just said, make sure your heart is in the right place, because you don't want to do this because you're coming to save the day. You're not coming to save us. No, you might walk alongside us and we might help each other, but you're not coming to save us. So there needs to be a mindset change. The other thing that I would definitely say is, partner with someone that knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Partner with someone and get under their wing and become a mentor and become a volunteer to help another organization do what they do. So that way you can learn with hands-on experience. And if it's something you decide to do later on, that's fine. But at least make sure you want to do it before you start.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Marlene Carson. I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. You're not coming here to save us. Like, I so resonate with that. I think people need to check out why they're doing this work, and also to work on their own freedom first, or while they're doing the work. Where were you locked down? How are you locked down right now? How many years have you been down? imprisoned and not free. Work on that. Become the freer person that you're really dying to be, but haven't had the courage to do it. Then come and help somebody else. Or do it at the same time. That way you'll have empathy for somebody else while you're trying to learn to kind of live in your own freedom. So anywhere in your life that you're trying to be free?
Well, I guess, you know, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, I'd love to stop shaving my legs and having to put makeup on, dress cute, all of that. Stop being judged based on, you know, my physical appearance. But I guess, you know, I'd have to say, you know, working on being more honest with myself, with other people, just being a better person. Mm-hmm. What are you working on?
Well, I think to achieve more freedom within myself, I'm working on curbing my workaholism. Like, I've been working on that for the last 5 years. So I would say the problem is that I need to have more work-life balance, and I'm working on it. So working, it's kind of like dieting. Like, you have to eat, but you have to eat right. In my case, I have to work, but I have to also enjoy freedom from work. So, but I also have a theory.
God, what's that?
Yeah. So, you know, I think Marlene, she's a thriver, and I believe she used to be a bottom or part of the trafficking business. And I'm not really talking out of school because she says this. I learned this in one of her presentations, but she doesn't really talk about her experience anymore. I mean, she's moved on from that, but I think that, you know, some traffickers haven't worked with even traffickers in the past. It's like putting them on the path to do something else. Like Marlene, natural born entrepreneur, like her brain, she wakes up every day, I would imagine, just thinking of, you know, oh, this is a great idea. That's how she's able to help survivors and thrivers, like brainstorm through their businesses and stuff. She's just a natural entrepreneur. And so I just have this working theory about traffickers and how they're running things and how, you know, putting them on the track to a trajectory that's different once they leave prison, you know, that might be successful. I don't know. You know, I'm still working it out, but that's something I have in my mind. I mentioned it in another episode. But yeah, it's just something I have in the back of my mind. It's not totally worked out yet, but I think, you know, helping traffickers to stay off that path and get onto a new path might be a good idea. Maybe there are more, maybe they're entrepreneur type people, something like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Sociologically, like conceptually, you know, harnessing their clearly natural talents and gifts. I actually think that's a great plan because you can't just lock people up and throw away the key, right? So, I mean, people get out of prison eventually, and then what?
Right.
You know, they have to have employable skills. And if they don't, you're just setting them up to do, you know, the one thing they know how to do. Exactly. Of course, to the person that has been victimized by that person, it's hard sell. I wouldn't be trying to hear that. But
right. I know. Exactly. It would be difficult. But it is the reality that these people go to jail. They will get out of jail. And then what do we do with them after that? So I just think it is conceptually a good idea. But in reality, I can see the hurt and the pain in the victims when they see that somebody might be helping that trafficker to get a job or something like that. So it's pretty complicated, but how'd you like that pieces of a dream idea?
Oh, I loved it. That was so cool. It makes you want to be included. You know, it makes you want to buy a puzzle piece.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I told you, like, Marlene is an entrepreneur. Her brain is always on and always thinking.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked the peerpreneur network and, you know, for $18 a month to have someone come alongside you and help you live your dream. I mean, that's great.
I know. I'm going to pass that information along to people that I know, because you know, she said your peers could be anybody you meet. So, you know, if I would have known about this program a few years ago, I did a lot of research about how to do a podcast and how to do my online courses and stuff. I would have most definitely enrolled in her program and, you know, but I'll encourage people to do it. What do you think about her books?
I really, really love the 12 Steps to Transform the Exploited Soul. That just sounds like, you know, kind of my warm cup of coffee, a blanket, and just diving into that book, you know?
I know. What about the other book?
I believe Lotion Your Ass. I'm into this. Yeah, I'm interested. I want to read that. That's a strong opening.
I know. I can't wait for that book to come out, Lotion Your Ass. The title just says so much. Like, it's intimate in that it gets to the heart of the matter. It says what we're about to get into, a conversation that people generally don't talk about, but that we might need to talk about. So I like the edginess of it. You can certainly walk around with your dry, crusty butt and you can survive. But what if you lotioned your butt and you had a soft, supple butt? You know, it's like, how about that? You know, I don't know. Just saying life is so much better, you know, with the soft behind.
Oh, I would agree with that. And much like, you know, grandma would say, hard head makes for a soft ass. So
I know. And the audience would have to think about that one for a minute. Yeah. But it means that you're, you know, you're so hard headed that you keep getting your behind beaten, you know. So you need to listen. And in this case, you know, we learn to use our head to listen so that we learn to take some wisdom from survivors. And, you know, then we can appropriately have a soft behind. I'm trying to spin it, mix it. I don't know what this book is going to be, but I'm certainly going to read it. I'm looking forward to reading it actually when it comes out.
Let's not just do something. Let's do the best thing. If you like this episode of Emancipation Nation, please subscribe and I'll send you the weekly podcast. Until then, the fight continues.